very grounded in the Word. He comes from Liberia, but he spent time in a refuge camp in Ghana. And the Word of God was being shared at that time when he'd even preaching in the refugee camps. So when the opportunity came, and Brother Johnson jokingly said, "Yeah, I'd preach for you." I said, "Don't preach for me, preach to God's people." And I'm excited to introduce Brother Johnson. Can you please come forward? And I'd like to pray a little blessing over you and being able to have you lead us in worship. Dear Heavenly Father, I am thankful for this personal relationship. I look forward to the Word of God that Brother Johnson's going to share with us. And I lift him up in your name. Amen.
Yeah, it's working. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we want to say thank you this afternoon. We gave our life unto you, Holy Spirit. I pray this hour to God, committing the lives of your people into your hands. I pray this hour to God, committing this ministry into your hands. Sweet Holy Spirit, may your word fall on the fertile ground. I silence every accuser of the burdens. And I pray this hour to God for your fresh oil to fill this ministry. May I decrease and may you increase in this ministry. I even thank you for Pastor John. I even thank you to God for your people that you are calling me to speak to them today. Let your name be glorified. Let your will be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. By the way of introduction, Johnson Red from Liberia. I lived in Ghana for 2 years, is where I went to Bible school. And I moved back to Liberia where I was helping my dad's church before moving to the United States of America. Also presently working with the Universal Youth of Christ, where I know Pastor John from, and some of these faces. I'm very grateful to God this hour. I bring you greetings from my wife, and also I bring you greetings from the Praise Power Church in Liberia, West Africa. And when Pastor John and myself talked a few days ago, we were just talking. I visited him on Friday, and through our conversation, he asked me if I was willing to speak to the people of God. And you cannot neglect an invitation whenever God wants you to say a word to his people. Notwithstanding, let us turn our Bible to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Chapter 2, rather. This book was written by one of the apostles of Jesus. He was a disciple that walked with Jesus. He understood Jesus' ministry. And when you read 1 John, it's a book of facts. And it's a book of reality. It's a book that tells you that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says that John said, I've seen this man. I walk with this man. That which I have seen, I've heard about. And he was speaking about Jesus. And Jesus is our principal character we may be talking about this hour. So the Bible says that John, he was a disciple of Jesus, and he wrote this book under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Let us read the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Somebody may say that we don't have maybe 20s or we don't have like 30s little children in our midst. But why John should read this book to little children? In our own conscious mind, in our own Christian life, it's not only restricted to children. It's also have impartation on we believers' life. It may not be only little children at the age of 5, at the age of 7, at the age of 10, but he is talking about we believers. So he wants to make us to understand that little children understand that in the last days, the Antichrist will come. And probably somebody will say that we have heard this message over years, over decades, and over months, but we have not seen the Antichrist. There are a lot of Antichrists that are in the churches today. There are people that pretend to be Christian. There are people that pretend to be child of God, but they are blaspheming the children of God. They are leading them to hell. Let us look at the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Paul was speaking to the church after he had ministered and he was about to depart to go on another missionary journey. He decided to conscientize those faithful believers. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, and I read, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come. What you need to understand as a believer, there are people that will come and deceive you. There are many people today, there are many in our society, in our culture, in Africa, in the U.S., in Asia, they are deceiving many because people are not studying the Word of God. If you are studying the Word of God, you will not be carried away by what people say or by what people may tell you. Because in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, in the last days, there will be perilous times, that men will be lovers of themselves. So we are in the last days. We are approaching the last days. We are approaching the last hour. That things that we saw in the 70s, that things that we saw in the 80s, that things that we saw in the early 90s, we are no more seeing them, but we are seeing different things in our present generation. People may ask you, where is the Antichrist? Or do you believe that the Antichrist will come? Or do you believe that he is going to be man? Or do you believe he's going to be woman? But there are a lot of Antichrists that are in the church. They are deceiving many. They are blaspheming the name of God. They are pretending to be the sons of God, but they are not. Now what the Bible says, you should test all spirit. Verse 19. They went out from us. This is one of the interesting verses in this particular book. They went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifested that none of them were of us. Let us take our own time to understand the context of the text. John was speaking about people that were in the church. People that were a part of the church. People that walked and studied the pattern of the church. At the end of time, they turned back from the church to deceive many. Many people are deceiving many people. When you put your television on, when you put your radio on, there are a lot of people that are deceiving people. Back home in Africa, there are churches, there are preachers that are deceiving people because there are a lot of things that are not formed that they may not see in the Bible, but they are adding to the Word of God. Somebody asks you, but how do you believe or how do you know this person or this preacher is deceiving many? One, the Bible says we should test the Spirit. If I am bearing the Spirit of God in my life, you will know. When you are connected with the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is in your life, when you have the conscious minds of the Spirit of God, you will always understand that God wants you to walk in light, not in darkness. There are preachers that pretend to be preachers, but they are walking in darkness. There are evangelists, there are ministers of the gospel, they are walking in darkness. The Bible said, John said, they were of us. We studied the Bible together. We read the Bible. It's why you have a lot of different denominations. That's why you have a lot of different churches. That's why you have a lot of different religious groups calling themselves Christian, but they are not. I'm not going to call any church name. I'm not going to call any preacher name. No. But believers, we need to test the Spirit. We need to test the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that in your life will make you to know that this person is carrying God in them. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Jesus said in the book of John that I will not leave you comfortless. I will give you a comforter. Someone that will walk by your side. Someone that will teach you the things of God. And he was speaking about the Holy Ghost. In the context of that text, he said that in the Hebrew or in the Greek form, he was talking about Parakletos, another of the same kind. The Parakletos, which is the Holy Ghost, another of the same kind. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray that my Father will give you another of the same kind, which is the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost in your life, you will not be deceived by messages that are not of God. It's the Holy Ghost that will guide you. It's the Holy Ghost that will lead your steps. It's the Holy Ghost that will direct your path, not to be able to walk in the negative direction. I pray this afternoon, I pray this hour, that God will give us His Holy Spirit. That His Holy Spirit will walk with us. That we will not be deceived by blasphemers, that people that pretend that they know God. We are in the last hour. And when we are in the last hour, you are seeing the symptoms that are contributing to the last hour. What are some of the symptoms you are seeing around us? The Bible said that in the last days, there will be Protestants. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that in the last days, there will be sickness. There will be pestilence. Sicknesses that don't have cure. We are seeing it around us today. Example, HIV, AIDS. There is no cure for AIDS. We are seeing these things around us. It's time we children of God to get more closer to God. It's time we need to get more closer to God. It's time we need to pray and ask God for His direction in our life. Let us continue. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know. You know these things. You have read the Bible. You have prayed. You have come to church from the day that you knew yourself. You have come to church. You have reconciled your life with God. You have asked God to forgive you, and God has forgiven you. You have been part of the church. I'm not writing to you that you don't understand these things. You have understood these things, so this is what is going to happen. You need to hold on to God. This is my prayer, that we all will hold on to God. That we will not be driven away by what we see. That we will not be afraid. We will not be intimidated. Even when they say that Bible should not be taught in school, we will not be intimidated, because we will teach our children the principle of God. Even when men may persecute the church, when people may persecute the church, we will still teach our children the principle of God. That should be our desire. If the Bible is no more being preached in the society, or no more being preached on public station, we need to teach our children the principle of God. Because if our children knows the principle of God, they will not be driven away from the plans of God for their life. I've come to realize, John Wesley said that God can do nothing for humanity except someone pray. If God will bless your family, it's required of your prayer. If God will guide you and lead you at your job site, it requires your prayer. If God will heal that sickness you are going through, it requires your prayer. God can do nothing for humanity except we pray. To conclude, in verse 21, he said, I have written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. The truth of God, there is no lies in the truth of God. God said in His word, in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sin may be as a scarlet, that is the truth of God. And He said, if you confess your sin, if you are waiting and you come to me and you confess your sin, you shall eat the good of this land. And He also said in the book of 1 John, He said that the loss of the eyes, the pride of life, these things will drive you from God. And He said in the same 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, He said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a fact. That is a principle. That is what we need to understand. So there is no lie. So when we confess our sin, He is willing to accept us. That's what the Bible says, that He said that, and that no lie is of the truth. The truth of God is just true. If you are waiting and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So, the only way you can come under the total inspiration of God is that you need to understand first obedience. Because you know the truth. The Bible said, those that know the truth will set them free. So in God, there is no lie. God is real. So he wants for those that will come to him must be real. God does not believe in fake. When you are fake, he does not believe in you. He believes in people that will come to him with a waiting heart. So John said that, in the truth of God, there is no lie. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That is the same Antichrist. That is the same deceiver. That is the same one who is going to betray the plans of God for our life. He said, those that will deny Jesus, those that will deny the power of God, those that will deny Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, these are the people that do not know the truth. So there is no truth in those people. When you deny the power of God in your life, when you deny the power of God in North Broad Church, then you are not in the attitude or experiencing the truth in your life. So the only way you will recognize the truth that you need to understand that God is real. And we are in the last days. So he said that, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. I don't know how many of you believe that those that deny Jesus, those that deny the power of Jesus, those that deny that Jesus did not die on the cross of Calvary, but he was just taken away and came back and said he resurrected. These are people that are teaching heresies. These are people that are teaching lies to believers. There are a lot of doctrines. There are a lot of churches. There are a lot of religious groups that are teaching heresy. But I urge the church of North Bros this hour should always go deeper into the word of God. That's the only way you will know the truth of God. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Verse 23, which is our conclusive verse, says that whosoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. This is my prayer, that no one will deny the Father. This is my prayer, that no one will deny salvation in their life. But because when you deny salvation, you don't know God. When you deny Jesus in your life, you don't know God. When you deny the truth of God, you don't know God. The only way you will be able to know the truth is by accepting the reality that Jesus came on this earth and died for our sin. That because he died for our sin, that's the only way we can be justified as faith-filled people to God. It's what the Bible said. He said in his word that those that come to God must first believe that he is God and he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you want to be a rewarder of those that diligently seek God, first thing you need to understand, it can only work out through faith. I want to encourage you this afternoon. I want to let you know that we are in the last hour. And because we are in the last hour, Men will deceive many. People will deceive a lot of people. Churches will deceive a lot of believers. But the only way you can realize that God is in our life is by holding onto the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is our hope. The Word of God is our life. It's why we Christians, we can boast everywhere we go that Jesus died and He resurrected on the third day. That is a fact that we believers need to hold on to. May these words have impartation over our life. May it bring healing and deliverance. May it set us loose from every hands of darkness. May it bring joy and peace in Northbrook Church. May it be able to guide us and lead us into the path of righteousness. God bless you in Jesus' name.